last show of 2018.
I'm sad now. See, yeah. I came in all here, all fired up. We got new coordinators coming, and everybody's getting excited. And
we'll come back.
It's the end.
Yeah, in January. We'll be back in January. We'll be in New York next week for the Pinstripe Bowl, but we're very excited here tonight. We've got Coach Banda, Coach Patke, Coach Simpson all on here in the next hour. So let's get right to it. New co-defensive coordinator Ephraim Banda joining us. Safeties coach will be co-coordinator coming up in 2019. Coach Banda is with us. Coach, congratulations. Welcome back to the show.
I appreciate it. Thank you, guys. Good to be back. I know this is the last show, but it won't be the last time we see great defense in Miami. I promise you that.
No question. First of all, congratulations. What was it like when Coach Rick told you, want to keep you here, want to elevate your position? What was that like for you?
It was exciting. You know, I can't lie. I was really excited, you know, for the opportunity. Crazy, emotional, a lot of emotions going on at the time. But just excited to take on the challenge. I'm excited to continue what Coach Diaz has done here and build on the defense and the brand and the culture that he's created since he's walked into this building. And it's a big shoes to fill. I understand that. But I've been with him for a long time, and I really feel like he's gotten me ready for this moment, and as well as Coach Backe. So I can't wait, man. When he told me about it, you know, I just thought about, you know, everywhere we've been. I've thought about all the different places, and I thought about where this defense was when we first got here and where it's at now, and it was just too good to pass up.
Who's the first person you called to give them the good news?
definitely my wife.
Oh, good.
Called her. And, you know, she's been instrumental in this whole deal. You know, without her blessing, we weren't gonna do this. And so definitely called her and my son, Darian. And then, you know, just kind of from there went on. But definitely family was first, and let them know that we're going to be staying in Miami. Because obviously with Coach Diaz getting the opportunity to be a head coach that you know, he deserves and earned, and he's going to do a hell of a job up there. You know, there was uncertainty of what was going to happen with us, and I wanted to make sure my family knew that we were going to stay here.
Ephraim, let's talk about how much you have learned from Manny Diaz and how long you've been with him, and that you understand the continuation and the process of the brand and the culture here at Miami.
You know, when it's in this business, you have mentors and you have people that have just been instrumental in your growth in this profession. And there's been no one that's been more instrumental in my growth in this profession than Manny Diaz. You know, he gave me my first big opportunity at Texas and has kept me under his wing for a long time. I've been able to go to him, you know, as a friend, you know, as a coach, a young coach, as a position coach. And I'm going to have to go to him again, you know, as a coordinator for things and questions. And not once has he never... He's always picked up the phone. He's always given me, you know, the answer, even in situations may not have been best for him. So he's been the most influential person in my coaching profession. He's one of my best friends. You know, I love his family. I love Stephanie, Gavin, Colin, little Manny, you know, watching them grow. So he's been absolutely instrumental. But like I said, you know, he always told me, we've always talked. And, you know, you got to bet on yourself and you got to have confidence in yourself. And you gotta make sure that you know when you're ready, it's time. And sometimes you may not feel like you're ready, but the biggest thing is you gotta have confidence in yourself that you can do these things. And he's always preached that and thought and into us. So,
Coach Banda is with us. We can if we have time, we'll dive into some of the X's and O's and all that stuff. But mm-hmm. I do know this from the first time Don and I met you, you had this great ability of energy and passion and the ability to get the most out of players. And I think those guys that are out there trying to figure out where to go right now, mom and dads want to know where they're going to get the most out of their son, who's going to get the most, it's going to be Ephraim Banda, because you get a lot out of your guys and they don't wilt.
Well, one thing every listener, every possible recruit, every mother or father or whoever it is, uncle, aunt, grandmother, if your son is thinking about coming to Miami, understand this. We're going to get every single ounce of anything in them that needs to come out to make them a better player, a better student athlete, a better man. And I'm going to do whatever it takes. We're going to do whatever it takes to get that out of them. And so long as they really care about football and they love football and they want to be in Miami, and that's all that matters. And if they want that, and if that's something that's inside of them, we will get it out of them. You know, that's our job as a coach. I truly believe that you're in this profession to really grow young men and challenge them with enthusiasm, you know, to get in their face when it's time to get in their face. But at the same time, they got to know that you love them, and my players do know that, and I'm excited for these next year and the years after that. So, without a doubt, that's kind of a cornerstone that I've always tried to make sure that my players understand, you know, in this process.
Coach Banda, when there's co-coordinators on the offensive side, there's a running game guy and a pass game guy. How do you think you're going to sort this thing out with responsibilities on the defensive side of the ball?
You know, the biggest thing is we're going to do this together. You know, we're going to do this 100% together, where Coach Packy's going to be highly involved and Coach Jess highly involved in the decisions we make up front. And, you know, I want all of us, the biggest thing when we decide to do this is we're going to do this together. Or we weren't going to do it at all. And, their decisions and their expertise, I'm going to lean hard on those guys. I'm not an ego guy. Not a person in that room is an ego guy. And that was big for Coach Diaz when we built the staff. I've learned from him over the years to value every single person's opinion, whether it's the GA or the defensive coordinator. Listen to everyone, weigh all the options, and make the best decision for Miami. And we're going to do that. We're going to continue to do that. So up front, you know, Jess and Coach Packy will really kind of get us lined up and figure out what front's best for us, how we want to play, you know, certain techniques. In the back end, you know, that'll be, you know, a lot of what I want to do, and as well as Coach Packy. And we'll build it together. We'll walk into the stadium, you know, Hard Rock Stadium. And really the only difference, I've told everyone, the only difference in this defense for us is going to be who signals it in from this past year to next year, but it's going to be with the help of every single person in that room, the same that it's been this past year and the years previous.
Coach Efrem Banda is with us, who will be a co-defensive coordinator coming up. I'm not sure if I should look back or look forward, because you got you hit this Wisconsin game. You got Red Wine and Jaquan Johnson, so I know you're excited to coach those guys. But then if I look forward, you've got guys like Amari Carter and Gervin Hall and other guys coming back in that secondary, and that's going to be very, very exciting for you.
Absolutely. You know, that weighed heavy in the decision. You know, to stay or go. And the biggest thing that, you know, I saw was just a lot of good players. We've recruited well on the defensive side the last 3 years. Amari Carter will be a junior. Gervin Hall was one of the best safeties coming out, you know, in his class. There's a lot of, you know, Derek Smith, Romeo Finley, you've seen what's happened with him. All the young corners that we've recruited over the last few years. I mean, there's a lot of talent up front. You see it. You know, guys like Jonathan Garvin, Greg Rousseau is a freshman, John Ford, our linebackers, our young linebackers, you know, and obviously Shaq and Pinkney. So there's just so much talent we've built, you know, over the last few years. Like I told you, Coach Diaz has built this thing and done a hell of a job. It's hard to walk away, and that's what made, you know, this decision so easy. Not easy, but made it really comfortable for us, because there's so many good pieces, front and back.
Can't mention names, but it is that time of year, signing day, Wednesday, I believe it is. And how's Miami looking? What does your instincts tell you after all the years in the business? What's going to end up happening on Wednesday?
Wednesday's going to be good. I really think Wednesday's going to be good. You know, we're going to be – this class is going to be a defensive heavy class. Last year we were heavy on offense in the numbers, so this class will be a heavy defensive class. And we really like where we're at with the relationships we have built over the last few years with the kids that we hope will sign on Wednesday. Obviously, you can't name names, but it will still be heavily driven with South Florida kids from Dave Broward and Palm Beach. We'll sprinkle in some names, obviously, throughout from the state as well as out of state. But it will still be heavy on South Florida kids. And I really think that the fans and everyone that loves Miami is going to be excited about the, you know, these young guys that we bring in. And I really do believe that it really is still trending in the right direction in terms of recruiting.
Coach, also, do you see, you know, people will say, okay, we'll do all these pregame shows, or other markets will call you and say, give us the identity of Miami defense. It's so easy, right? It's tackles for losses. It's takeaways, sacks. It's aggressiveness. It's pressure. Pretty easy to identify what you want to do on defense, right?
You know, absolutely. That's the biggest thing. Nothing for us, everyone wants to talk about the scheme, you know, and what we do in terms of 4-3 and press man and all those things. But for us, it's all about tackling and being tough. We have four T's, and we always talk about those T's. And those T's are the core of who we are, and we'll never change. It doesn't matter so long as whoever's involved with this defense values those T's. And tackling and trust and toughness and takeaways, that's what this thing is. It's not the play calls. It's not the coach. It's about what we truly believe in as coaches and what our players learn to believe in and buy into that makes this defense what it is. And that's, like I said, it starts with tackling the best players. The people who take the field for the Miami Hurricanes in this defense will be good tacklers. The next thing, they got to be tough. They got to be mentally and physically tough. They got to trust each other, and we have to trust them. And that comes in multiple different ways. Whether it's busting, you know, whether it's their, you know, their ability to not bust in a play, or their ability to trust that someone's going to set an edge. And there's a lot of trust comes in many different ways, like I said. And then takeaways and how we get that ball. Obviously, the turnover chain's big, but those four T's are the cornerstone of who we are. That is what we are, and what we call is just the name of a coverage or a blitz, but those four T's is what makes Miami's defense Miami's defense.
That's great stuff right there. Before we let you go, Wisconsin, give us an overview of Wisconsin. We saw them last year, and of course, with them, it always starts with their power run game.
It does, and they're back. You know, he's talented now. last year, we were just talking about it. You know, we were like, man, I'm glad we got that guy as a freshman a year ago. And then we're watching him again right now. We're like, dang it, he's gotten even better. He's talented, very, very talented. He's a strong runner. He's gotten better. His offensive line is very, very talented, very athletic. His receivers can run. They can get off press man. Their quarterback has a knack for putting the ball in tight windows. He's good on the run. You know, I know he's been banged up this year, but biggest thing is we have a lot of respect for that team and their coordinators. They do a hell of a job coaching. They're very, very sound. So watching them, it'll be a challenge. I look forward to it. We all look forward to it in that room because we really it's a measuring stick for us. You know, we left that game a year ago saying, man, we need to change some things and do some things different. And we went into this season and with those thoughts in mind that were stemmed from that game. And really improved in a lot of areas. So for us to kind of circle back to this game, it's interesting, and we're excited because we really want to see the improvements and see where we truly are after last season to this season.
Coach, thanks very much. Congratulations, and look forward to seeing you. We'll see you tomorrow in the practice field. But congratulations on the promotion and the very best of luck.
I appreciate it, guys. Look forward to talking to you some more, and I can't wait to see you practice tomorrow. Get on that green tree practice.
All right. That's
all right. See you, Coach.
Safeties coach Ephraim Banda, next year's co-defensive coordinator. Before we go into the break, real quick, I thought his answer on the responsibilities was a really good one. To give it some perspective, back in when Dennis Erickson was here, Sonny Lubick was the defensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. But he relied on his linebacker coach,
who
was Tommy Tuberville.
Yeah.
Because Tubby was in the defense before Coach Erickson got here.
Correct.
They kept the defense when they got here.
Canes 4-3 defense.
Canes 4-3 defense,
that's
but
right.
The guy that knew it was Tuberville.
That's right.
So Sonny was upstairs. Tommy was downstairs. Tommy brought the perspective of the front. Sonny was the secondary coach, brought the perspective of the back end. Very similar to what was just stated.
And, Joe, you and I have both spent a tremendous amount of time with Manny Diaz. And one of the things that impressed me both about him is that you always felt that he valued everybody's opinion in that, in his defensive room or offense room or on that staff. And it was not a dictatorship. It was a team approach or a group approach to putting the best game plan together and then deciding on how you're going to make the calls.
Okay, when we come back, Jonathan Patke will join us next right here on the Hurricane Hotline of Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM.
This is Hurricane Hotline on AM 560 and 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com. Now, back to Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Canes, Joe Zagacki.
Back on the show, Joe Z, Don Bailey Jr., December 27th, will be at Yankee Stadium. We'll be on the air at 1 o'clock for a 5:15 kickoff. Joining us right now on the show is outside linebackers coach Jonathan Patke, soon to be co-defensive coordinator for the University of Miami. Quite a story for Coach Patke, and love having him on the show. Coach, congratulations, and welcome back to the show.
I appreciate that. I'm glad to be back.
We got to start with same thing we asked Coach Banda when Coach Rick called you in and said, "All right, here's my plan." What ran through your mind?
It was excitement. Excited to be a part of this program and take over for Coach Diaz. And I thought we had a good plan. Coach moved with conviction with what he wanted to do. I feel very comfortable with Coach Banda and myself running the defense and Coach Simpson, taking that new role and helping this team out.
Coach, I want to let all our listeners know that you played the position of linebacker, and you played it for you were a three-year starter at Stephen Austin State, but then you go and you were with Coach Diaz at La Tech in Mississippi State, and then here at UM. So you understand what he expects out of this defense, and you've basically mastered this thing under his tutelage.
I did. I've been with him 5 years, and listened to every aspect of this defense, how he coached it, how he coached the linebackers, how he coached the back end, and even how he coached up front. Even at Mississippi State, I worked with the defensive line, so I've kind of worked with every aspect of the defense. And, it's funny, when we sit in meetings with Coach Diaz and Coach Banda, we can finish each other's sentences and exactly how we want everything to be played. So it's a unique situation, and, I'm blessed to have worked under him for that long.
You, Coach, really paid your dues. You have a very interesting story to get to this point, and I think there's a lot to be said for that because – you demonstrated a great amount of perseverance to get to this point in your career.
Yes, sir. I always say I'm a 7-year overnight success.
Take us through a little bit and remind our listeners a little bit what the path has been like for you to get to where you are today.
Yeah, so like you said, I played Stephen F. Austin in East Texas, finished up there and actually got out of coaching, of playing and went into the business world, but got a phone call from a coach named Coach Ibacek. He recruited me to Stephen F. Austin, and he was at Incarnate Word in San Antonio as a defense coordinator, and wanted to bring me on as a GA, a graduate assistant. So I took that opportunity and got back into coaching, which I wanted to do. So jumped in into the college profession. We were actually a Division II at the time, ended up being a 1AA, but that's where I met Coach Banda. So that's where my career started there. And then went on and ended up at Louisiana Tech with Coach Diaz. And then left there after a season. Really good on defense that year. So had an opportunity to go to Mississippi State. Followed him there. Was a graduate assistant again. And then took off from there down here. So down here to Paradise and quality control. And then obviously put on the 10th role as the outside linebackers coach, and here I am.
John, what do you think the most important thing, lesson on the field, let's say, and then we'll go off the field, that Coach Diaz influenced you with or taught you?
I think the most important thing is, you know, X's and O's. We're going to be solid strategically with how we call the defense and everything on the field. But the most important thing is getting the players to play really hard and really tough. And tough players will play. And it's easier said than done. You really have to stay up to your guys and demand them to play at a high effort level every single day.
You got a lot out of your guys this year, the new striker position, in particular Romeo Finley, who the other night was at the awards ceremony, was one of the most improved players. Talk about some of the development of those players and what do you expect moving forward?
Yeah, it was great to see Zach McLeod and Romeo Finley take home a lot of hardware. They deserved it. Those guys played really hard. And Romeo is just a guy that's come in the program and come such a long way, and really, as a junior, just blossomed this year. And to see, you know, where we took him out of the safety room, brought him down to the linebacker, the striker room, and had him do different things that Zach McLeod, you know, shouldn't be asked to do, you know, being a bigger guy. And Romeo can do other things, but what they've done this year and the way they competed and been able to play together and share the time, you know, and always say Zach McLeod is the best team player there is, because he set aside his personal aspirations and played for the team and wanted the team to be great. And he always tells me whatever it takes to win it. So really proud of those guys of the night. And, you know, the most proud I am, like I said, they're tough. They hit, they strike people. And they never back down, never flinched.
We cannot not talk about Shaq Quarterman and Michael Pinckney if we have the linebacker coach or defensive coordinator on our show. Shaq Quarterman, let's start there. Just what a great example for everybody on a football team to follow.
Oh, it's unbelievable. And even coming out of this weekend, you know, we had a player panel, and he was one of those guys, and every parent came out of that player panel and was like, That is the most well-spoken, genuine human I've ever come across, and just proud of him as a person, and even more as a player and what he's done on the football field. You know, all three of those guys came in and had to take big roles as starters, and they've gotten better each and every year and been humble throughout the whole experience.
We are in the recruiting season. We can't talk about certain guys or and stuff like that, but we'll go at it this way. What are you looking for in future Hurricanes?
You know, what we've always looked for and what we're blessed with down here in South Florida is just guys that are tough, that can run. We're not so much tied into how big, you know, and how tall you are, but we want football players that will run through people, that'll play for their teammates, and that can tackle well. And obviously we take pride in how we tackle here, and we're going to continue that. But really just tough, fast guys that attack the ball. And, you know, like I said, being in South Florida, these kids are raised that way. And we're blessed to be down here to be able to recruit those guys.
Coach, you're facing a Wisconsin team that loves to run football, that's big and physical, and you got a good dose of them about a year ago. What do you expect out of them, and what do you expect out of this Miami defense in New York City?
Yeah, we just got done watching him. That tailback is a special, special player for them. He's one of the best tailbacks in the country. He runs hard, runs his feet, and when he gets out, he can go. I think he's a 100-meter champ in high school. They talk about that a lot, and it shows on film. You know, we got to rally to the ball. We got to fit it right and just play physical ball. I thought we did a good job last year of, you know, bottling up the run, and now we just got to continue that in the back end and lock down some of the receivers. They played unbelievable last year, really played at a high level. And we know they're a good football team. And we the first things first is on this defense, we're going to stop the run first and force them to throw it. And their best player on offense, in my opinion, is their tailback. So it'll be a tough task, but we're up for it.
Of course, the third part of this equation is going to be Coach Simpson. He's going to be on the show with us next, but you know what you're going to get from him in terms of what he's doing coaching-wise with his defensive line.
Oh, he's done a great job since he's been here. Really brought just a wealth of knowledge, you know, as a head coach, as a D-line coach, what he brought to our front, how they play this year. It's been a really great addition to our staff, and we're glad to have him. The guys really respect him, play hard for him, and will continue to do so. They're excited to keep them around here, and so are we.
All right, Coach. Congratulations on the promotion. Happy for you. And again, like Coach Banda, perseverance paid off.
It did. I'm glad it did, and blessed to be here in this situation.
All right, good luck against Wisconsin. Good luck on the recruiting trail, and we'll see you on the practice field tomorrow.
I appreciate it. Thanks a lot, guys.
Congratulations, right. Coach.
It's soon-to-be co-defensive coordinator Jonathan Patke joining us here on the show. When we come back, Jess Simpson will join us next, Hurricanes defensive line coach and soon-to-be associate head coach. That's all coming up next right here on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM.
Hotline on AM 560 and 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com. Now, back to Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Canes, Joe Zagacki.
Joe Zagacki, Don Bailey Jr. We'll be in New York on the 27th of December. We'll have the Pinstripe Bowl for you. Our broadcast will begin at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, 5:15 kickoff. It'll be a Thursday afternoon, so if you're stuck in traffic on the Palmetto Expressway, you can dial up old Don and Joe. It'll be our 250th straight game together, by the way.
Well, half done, Joe. That? We're about halfway done.
250 in a row. How about that?
I like that. Knock a little wood here.
Okay, joining us now is Hurricanes defensive line coach and soon-to-be associate head coach, Jess Simpson, getting that promotion. And Coach Simpson with us right now. Coach, congratulations, and welcome back to the show.
Good evening, guys. Appreciate y'all having me on.
Yeah, thank you very much. You had a big impact on this defensive line this year, not only on the field, but with the players as well, I think both on and off the field. Did you think you would have such a big impact, and why do you think you were so effective with them?
You know what? I think, you know, anytime you're the new guy, you kind of try to come in and, you know, listen a little more than you talk and try to learn your room and figure out your guys. You know, I think we had success this year really because I had great guys. And they were, you know, interested in learning, and I think they bought into what I wanted to teach. And I think they saw how we could feature them in this system. And, you know, certainly, you know, a lot of things had already been in place of the scheme and the style of play. But, you know, I had my own twist on it as a coach, and all coaches do. It was just fun. I had a blast coaching this year, and I think these guys had a lot of fun playing, and we did some special things.
Coach Gerald Willis not playing in the bowl game. That was announced earlier in the week, but talk to us about him this year. What are maybe the best story in all of college football?
I tell you what, the award show the other night was really bittersweet seeing him. I've been on the road 3 weeks for recruiting, and I've been away from him, and we've gotten really, really close this year. And he is a incredible young man. You know, I've said it before, you know, and I've been coaching ball since I was, you know, I don't know, 21, 22 years old. And certainly, you know, one of the highlights of my career has been working with him. Just very intentional, very serious about his work, totally bought into what we wanted to do and our style of play and how we wanted to do it. I think he was a guy who was a man on a mission. Personally, to achieve some things he wanted to, but totally unselfish and playing in our system and willing to be coached and willing to change and do things a little bit different. I think he saw, man, some of the stuff we did really paid big for him.
Coach Demetrius Jackson at the banquet on Saturday night said that he's going to be mayor of Miami, and I believe him, and I want him to be. I think he could be anything he wants to be, but talk about their relationship, how Demetrius influenced Gerald and the bond that those guys have now.
You know, those guys have been together for a long time. And D-Jack is one of those young men who's just, he's super intentional. He knows who he is. He knows what he wants to do. And, you know, he jokes about, you know, I'm sure he's not joking about being the mayor.
No, he's not.
but what's cool is how he's starting. You know, he's going to go back to his old high school and teach and coach this spring. And, you know, I think that really speaks to who he is, man. And you see it every single day. He's a servant. He's about other people. He cares about folks. He wants to be a blessing. You know, Coach Rick always talks about being a blessing to others. And Demetrius Jackson is one of those kind of men. He's going to spend his life serving other people and making things better for other people and the folks that are around him. And you know, what a cool thing to be around him for a year and kind of watch him and the man that he is, and he's grown into be while he's been in Miami.
Jess Simpson is our guest, associate head coach. That's got to be pretty cool for you, right, Coach? The way you've come up through the ranks, what does it mean for you? I know for the University of Miami, it brings some stability and continuity, and probably the same to your life as well.
Yeah, it's neat. You know, I joke with people and say I've had a horseshoe stuck up my butt my whole life. I've just been blessed. Been around great people and great men, and when I've had a chance to surround myself with great folks as a high school head coach, I always did that. I always say your people decisions are your most important decisions. You know, one of the biggest reasons I'm in Miami for a lot of reasons, but you know, certainly one of the biggest ones is because I believe in Mark Richt, the man, the person, the character that he has, the competitive, the vision for winning a championship at Miami. So for me, it really starts right there, and then it goes to, you know what your skill. I love to teach and coach. I'm a teacher first. And I think I was in a lot of ways born to lead, and I love leading young men. I love setting a vision. I love messaging, speaking into people, and, you know, kind of making, you know, the standard known and holding kids to it. And then how you do that, how you reinforce it, how you brainwash your people. And, you know, I've spent a career doing that, and, certainly look forward to getting to add on to the things we're already doing here.
Coach, let's spend a minute back on Coach Richt. You said something, and he and I were teammates 100 years ago, and I've known him and kept in touch with him forever. But you talked about his competitiveness. People don't realize how competitive that guy is, do they? He might be the most competitive guy I ever met.
Yeah, he might. You know what people see on TV is the guy who is totally locked in, focused, and thinking on a sideline. And then what you hear and see about him personally in the public eye is this, you know, caring, honest, genuine man. But what you don't see is inside the building and on that practice field, the way he works, the way he prepares, the way he challenges our players, the standard that he sets and holds people to, the accountability he has within our football team. And it is, you know, he's in there early and he's staying late. I joke here, he's a grinder, but he loves the game and he loves to win. He's just like all of us. He's wanting to win the next rep at practice.
Right.
Jess Simpson is with us. No Willis going into this game. Back on the practice field tomorrow, so you got to plug that hole. You got Silvera, Bethel, Odenigbo, Jonathan Ford.
Yeah.
I guess it's you got to throw an army at Wisconsin.
You do, and it doesn't matter who you are. You know, and it'll come back doing the same things really, really well. You know, it'll start with our style of play and being attacking, vertical, and upfield. You know, it'll require us to be fundamentally sound in how we hit blocks and, you know, how we get off blocks and how we fit as a front. You know, it's not about one guy. It's about everybody, but it starts with one guy. You know, and if you win your, you know, it's all about, you know, win your battle. You know, all of us got to get it done. And that's the brotherhood. You know, I do my job so you can do yours, and this would be one of those kind of games.
How has Silvera progressed this year for you?
You know, it's been fun to watch him. You know, he's improved and gotten better, and, you know, he's going to get a taste of big boy ball this week. It looks like, you know, these guys are not – these are large human beings that they have on the offensive line. So, but you know what? I'm excited. You know, this time of year, every coach in the country is excited about these 2 weeks of practice and, you know, seeing your old guys do it right, watching young guys and how much progress they've made, you know, throughout the season. So, you know, that's really kind of – and honestly, as a coach, man, getting off the road after recruiting 3 weeks, like being at practice last night, was so refreshing.
Well, Coach, you talk about big boy ball. It actually is probably going to help his development more than he'll ever realize. He's really going to get a taste, Silvera, against Wisconsin and a lot of reps, and he's going to realize – this is college football.
No doubt. And we want to do it at a high level. And, you know, and that's what's so important. When you have those moments and you realize, man, I've got to trust my fundamentals. That's the process of preparation. So you can go in there and you can play great for your teammates and for yourself. And, you know, practice is so important. But like you say, getting those game reps and being thrown in the fire. And when he's had his chances this year, he's done well. And, you know, as a rookie, you know, then you come back and you watch the tape and you think, man, I thought I did this, but I can see I did that. So So that's the progression that all these young guys go through.
We got to get to a couple of other guys in your defensive line in a moment. But just Don and I were talking about this before the show and let our audience in on this. But this offensive line, you know, this is what you we talk about trying to get older in Miami. Here's what Miami's up against with this offensive line. Left tackle, 32nd start. Left guard, he's 54 for 54. 54 games, 54 starts. The center, 27 for 27. 27 games, 27 starts. The right guard, consensus All-American, 49th start. Right tackle, 33rd start. So not only are they large human beings, they're experienced.
No doubt. And, you know, when you watch the tape, you know, they're so well coached. They play so well together. Their eyes are on the same target. They do a great job in protection. And obviously, you know, everybody knows about their tailback and what he's been able to do the last two seasons. So, it's going to be a huge, huge challenge. We're going to come ready to play.
Coach, we know we can't get into specific names, but you came to the University of Miami. You put on the shirt that had the big U on it. You're out there recruiting. What's the reception when you walk into a high school with representing the University of Miami, and how's recruiting going to this point?
You know what? I think it's going really, really well. You know, and we're in on it with some really, really big time players, and we got some kids that are solid, and we got some kids that, you know, I think are right there and thinking about coming to Miami. And I think we in January there's going to be good players still out there trying to decide. So, but walking into a school with a U on your chest and you're the D-line coach at Miami, arguably the greatest tradition of D-line play in the history of college football. I mean, there's a huge amount of pride that goes along with that and a huge amount of tradition that comes with it. And, you know, that tradition is something special. And, you know, we're just every day we're trying to live up to it in that room. And we've got some high standards.
And you got some guys that whoever comes in can look at some players and say, okay, you know, Gerald Willis had great success, but Garvin had himself a hell of a year. And Joe Jackson had a heck of a year.
No doubt. And that's what's fun. You know, it's been documented in this defense, man. If you're the right kind of kid and the right kind of player, if you fit our style of play, everybody can – we always talk about everybody eats in this defense, you know. And that's what you see. There's multiple – you know, all kind of players with sacks, all kind of players with TFLs. And, you know, I think, you know, having an NFL background, I mean, when you turn on the tape and you're looking for D linemen at that level, you know, you want to find guys that are productive and disruptive. And what better system to play in than the University of Miami defense? Because, you know, if you look over what's happened here the last 3 years, the number of sacks is top 10 every year. The number of TFLs, you know, I think we were 3 in the country a year ago. We were number 1 in the country this year. We dominated third downs this year. And, you know, if you want to play at the next level, those are the things that you have to do to be successful in the NFL for sure.
Coach, Joe Jackson, really a phenomenal year when you think about the scored and his sacks and his tackles for loss, and he really seemed to have taken the next step under you in his development. Talk about his season as well.
You know, what I probably appreciate about Joe the most, being an older guy in the room, is he's a great competitor, extremely tough guy in the way he finishes plays. You know, it's hard to – you know, we grade tough and we grade the film. You know, when you turn on a tape from a Saturday night or a Saturday afternoon watching Miami, it's hard to find him ever having a loaf. I mean, the guy just plays really, really hard. He loves the game. He's a great competitor. You know, I think he's got big things in front of him.
All right, Coach. Well, you came here to Miami this year, had a big impact, and look forward to watching this thing unfold over the next couple of days, and of course next year as well with Coach Band and Coach Patke, and that should be a lot of fun and exciting for you to be working with those guys as well.
No doubt, man. I'm so fired up. You know, I think, you know, I felt like Coach Rigg did exactly what we needed to do here as a program and to keep this thing going on defense, the continuity, to keep our style of play. You know, the kids are so comfortable with what we do and the language of the defense and all those things. It's so important. And then obviously, you know, those guys are also great recruiters, and that means a lot in this game. You say what you want, but you know, the teaching and coaching is a big piece of it, but certainly the recruiting is another large part of it as well.
Coach, thank you. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. See you on the practice field, and good luck against those Badgers.
All right, man. Appreciate you guys. Y'all have a great evening.
All right, take care. That's Hurricanes associate head coach Jess Simpson joining us here on the hotline. Now, you just heard from all three guys, and you can see why Coach Rick kept them. All three guys are very impressive. Got great stories, really smart, really passionate, understand what they want to do, know what the mission is, know about recruiting, set a standard. They've got a framework in place. They know what they want to do.
Coach Bandis said it first off, not any smell of ego. Everybody's going to be involved in putting a plan together. Everybody's going to be involved in executing it. And I think the thing that we really have to stress is you can tell by talking to them, Joe, and we see it all the time because we're practicing around it, why the players respond to them. They trust them. They trust those coaches, and those coaches know how to get these young men motivated. You got – just take Coach Simpson. He was a high school coach for a bunch of years.
He was like the George Smith of Atlanta, right?
That's a great way to describe it. That's a great way to describe it. And had tons of success. And, you know, Joe Brodsky said something to me one time. I asked him. I said, Coach, I said, what's the difference between the NFL – you know, coaching Smokey Roan at University of Miami or coaching Emmett Smith. I says, was there a big difference? What did you have to change? He says, Dondi, he says, I've never stopped coaching high school. And there's a lot to be said for that. He kept it simple. He understands you got to have a relationship with the players. And if you do that and they trust you, they'll play for you. And I get that feeling for not only from Coach Simpson and watching him go at it, but also with Packy and Banda.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to watch it unfold. It's not completely unheard of. You know, Clemson's got co-coordinators on the offensive side.
Forever.
I think they've done pretty good. Brad
Forever.
Scott's son, Tony, was it Tony Scott? At any rate, Brad Scott, who was actually with Coach Rick at Florida State.
Correct.
And I think was the head coach at South Carolina. His son's the co-coordinator at Clemson. They've done pretty good.
Yeah, and the thing is, as long as there's communication, as long as everybody – and listen, I think the big thing is – recruiting.
Well, Coach Simpson just nailed it, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
he just said it.
It all boils down to you gotta get some good players.
Yeah.
So Wednesday is signing day. We're gonna do. You and I are doing a show down at UM. See what happens. See how it all unfolds. That's part one. Part two comes in February.
Yeah, it's a two chapter story for this deal, right? So 75% of the nation will probably sign, and then you restart the motors again and go fill up the rest of the class.
Try to win this game in New York and go into the offseason with a 3-game win streak. So
I'll take that, Joseph.
Okay. All right. When we come back, Coach Elby joining us. DBJ, thank you very much.
You're welcome, my man.
Am I going to see you before Christmas? Maybe. Oh, yeah, tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow and the next day.
That's right. Okay. All right. Stay tuned. Coach El coming up next.
Radio.com.